We're going to open up to Simon Tzadi Tes, Sif Hei. You happen to have the same Shulchan Aruch that I have, it's on page Reish Lamed. And the Mechaber writes the following, Eim Vatlin Isu L'chatchila. Okay, Eim Vatlin Isu L'chatchila, I can't take a piece of Nevela and put it into a mixture of basar shchuta in order to mivatel the nevela. Vafilu nafal lesocheter. Fine, that's, we'll get to that later. Avar ubitlo. What's going to be the deal if he would be mivatel it? And the mechaber sets up many different conditions. Who's usher? When he's usher? And so forth and so on. Then the Mechaber says the following, Sif Vav. This is on page Reish Mem Beis. Iser shel divrayim ein ma'arvin oso biyadayim kidei levatlo. So we cannot take an Iser drabbanon and mix it into a tarovus of heter for the purpose of bit. However, he says, Aval im nafal me'atzmo, if the Isur d'Rabbanan fell into a tarovus of heter, the ain beheter kidei levatlo, but there's no, let's say, shishim or rov in order to be mevatel the heter, mevatel the Isur, is marva olav umevatlo. He's allowed to be mevatel biyadayim by adding heter into this tarovus. So again, when he talks about an Issa Doraisa back in Sif Hei, he includes both a case where A, he takes the Issa and mixes it into a Taroves, and B, a case where it fell in by itself, and now he wants to add Heter in order to be Mavata. That's as far as an Issa Doraisa is concerned. As far as an Issa Drabon is concerned, then although he's not allowed to take Iser Drabonon Biyadayim to be Mevatel, but in Nafal Miatzmo, if the Tarovus is a given, then he's allowed to be Marbe Heter to be Mevatel. Now we'll see in a minute where the source for this distinction is between an Iser Doraisa and a Drabon. It comes out like this. In Ein Mevatlin Isur L'chatchila, there are two different Isurim. There are two different dinim. One din is to create a Tarovus. In other words, to take Isur and be Ma'ariv. The Isur is being Ma'ariv Isur Beheter. The other Isur is not Ein Ma'arvin Isur, but Ein Mosifin Heter Kidei Levatelus Isur. You already have a Tarovus. You're not being Ma'ariv the Isur. You're not even touching the Isur. The Tarovus is a given, but there's not enough to be Mevatel it. Now you're being Mosif Heter into the Tarovus in order to be Mevatel Isur. That is Osur as well. But here, the Mechaber makes a distinction between an Isur D'Oraisa and an Isur D'Rabbanan. With regard to an Isur D'Oraisa, both Isur are there. But with regard to an Isur D'Rabbanan, it's only an Isur to be Ma'arev, meaning to create a Tarovus. But to be Mosif Heter, That's not us. So let's try to understand the difference between an Isur D'Oraisa and an Isur D'Rabbanan. Why is it that an Isur D'Rabbanan we can be making, once there is a Tarovus, we're allowed to be Mosif Heter? So let me give a mashal of Ayah Dover Dome. I don't mean to equate the two, but we have Halach and Sanhedrin of a Rodef. And the Chakira, the question about a Rodef is, it says that if you cannot save the Nirdef without killing the Rodef, you're allowed to kill the Rodef. So what am I doing now? Am I killing the Rodef? Or am I saving the Nirdef? And then Afkamina is going to be a case of a Katan. Omar Avhuna in the Sanhedrin, Dafayim Beis, Katan, a Rodef, Afra, Gadol, is Mutla Hargo. He has a Din of a Rodef. So it's not that we're killing the Rodev, but if we can't save, if we cannot save the Nirdav, so in order to save the Nirdav, we kill the Rodev. I'm just giving you that as a mashal. That's just, you know, like Rebbe used to start a shiur with a milsa de v'dichusa. I didn't mean it as a milsa de v'dichusa. So the same thing is here. How do you view the case of a tarobus? You have a tarobus in front of you, there's Issa, there's Heter, and there's not enough Heter to vatal the Issa. So I add Heter now. So yesh lachor, what am I doing now? Am I trying to be mevatel the Issa, or am I trying to save the Heter? What would you say? See, in the case where he takes the Issa via Dayim, and he's ma'ariv the Issa, clearly he's being mevatel the Issa. He's doing a direct act on the Issa. But here, the Issa is already in the Tarobus. So he's not picking up the Issa. What's he doing? He's saving the Heter. So here's the difference between the Doraisa and the Darabonah. The Doraisa halacha is that you have a Chefza, the Issa, you have Nevela, and the Issa is, you're not letting it be Mevatel, the Issa. What are you going to tell me? Well, I'm not being Mevatel, the Issa is already in the Tarobus. All I'm doing is saving the Heter. We don't say that with regard to Nevela. But when the Rabbanan created Isur, then we have a principle called Hemam Ruvehemam, right? The Rabbanan could say that with regard to an Isur the Rabbanan, the aim of Vatlin means when you create a Tarobus by taking the Isur and trying to be Mavatl the Isur, by adding it to it, mixing it into a Tarobus. But if you already have a Tarobus, then the Chacham are going to say that you're not being Mavatl the Isur, you already have the Isur in the Tarobus. What you want to do is save the head there. It's kind of like, Chasa Rachmana al Mamonon Shal Yisrael. That the Rabbanon want to have, they want to have Rachmanis on your Heter. You know, you have 59 pieces of Heter against one piece of an Iser, and it's all going to go down the tube. So we're going to allow you to add in order to save the Heter. So that's more or less what the Rashba says in Beis on Daf Dalid, and we'll see Mitz Hashem the sugya in just a minute. Now, let's take the case of Shogeg. So what does it mean in the case of Shogeg? The Mechaber says that you didn't take the Iser and put it in deliberately into Tarovus, so you didn't violate the Iser being Ma'arev Iser v'Tarovus, which would certainly be a case of Bittel Iser v'Adayim, but rather it fell in v'Shogeg. So we're not holding you responsible for the Tarobus itself, for creating a Tarobus of Issa v'Heter. So now you have a Tarobus. But you're not chayav for being Mevatel the Issa. So here's where the Rabbanan said, well, if you want to be Mar v'Heter, that's considered Hatzolas HaHeter. For the sake of Hatzolas HaHeter, we're going to allow you to do that, and it's Heimom v'Heimom. So the source for this distinction is the Gemara in Beitzah. So this is the case of Muktzah, of Eitzim Shenashu Bina Ilan B'Yomtev, on Daf Dalim and Beis. And the Gemara says the following. Omer Rav Masnam, Eitzim Shenashu Bina Dekel L'Tocha Tanur B'Yomtev. So he has two kinds of Eitzim here. He has a Tarovis of number one, Eitzim Mukhanim, that were prepared on Erev Yomtev. They're not Muktzah. And he has Eitzim Shenoshim Dekel B'yontiv, and that's Muktzah. And the Eitzim fell into the Tadur, where he has Eitzim Mukhanim. So it's a mixture of Iser V'Heter. So Rav Masna says, Mar Balem Eitzim Mukhanim, and then he can turn on the fire and do his Bishul on Yontiv. So the Gemara asked, "Vahama hapich bi isura." The Gemara assumes that even though he's marba eitzim, but he still has to move the eitzim around in order for all of them to catch fire. So if he moves them all around, then isn't it considered as if he's moving the muktzah? So the Gemara says, "No." Came under Ruba that Teirinu, since he has rov heter after he adds the Eitzim Amukhanim Lasaka is Ki Kama Hapik Behetera Kama Hapik. We assume that when he shakes it around, he's shaking around the Heter and not the East. In fact, the Gemara Vahakam Avatal Isura Lechatkila Utnan Ein Mevatlin Isur Lechatkila. How can you allow him to be Marbe Eitzim Mukhanim into the Tanur in order to be Mevatel the Eitzei Mukta. We have a principle, Ein Mevat L'Nisa L'Chat Tefila. So the Moran says, Hani Mili B'Doraisa B'Dorabonon Mevatlim. So here's where the Rashba says that what's the pshat that the Rabbanon are going to allow you to be Mevatli. So the answer is you didn't create the Tarobas. So you already have a Tarobas. And you have Eitzim Mukhanim. We want to save you from having to avoid the Eitzim Mukhanim, so we're going to allow you to create Bithel. So again, the Rashba...
Even from the Jairo Evil Zesser?
Oh, so just one second. So again, let's just get the Rashba down. The Rashba is saying that you could be Marba Eitzim Mukhanim, right? Mukhanim, Mutarim. And why? Because the Rabbanan said that you're now, this is the way Rashba says, you're now saving what? You're saving the Eitzim HaMutarim. Now, let's think about this. What kind of Tarobas does he have in front of him? We're talking about Eitzim BeEitzim. So Eitzim BeEitzim is Yavesh BeYavesh. And it's Min B'Mino. That's the one case that it's Batu B'Rov, Chad B'Tred. So why do we have to bother being Mar BeEitzim to be Mavatel? Why shouldn't it be Batu B'Rov? So you have only one choice here. In order to interpret this Gemara, you have to say this Rav Iser. Or perhaps it's Chad B'Chad. Maybe it's Shavah B'Shavah. But for sure there's no Rav. So now you have a case of a Suffolk. Anytime you pick up a piece of wood, it's going to be a Suffolk, whether it's Asur or whether it's Mutter. So what's the Rashba saying? The Rashba is saying that, well, although you're not allowed to be Mavatel Isur V'Yodayim, even in the case of an Isur Drabbanon, but here you're not being Mavatel Isur V'Yodayim because you already have a Tarobas. In other words, the Rashba was assuming that you already have a Tarobas, and that's how the Mechaber Paskins, that if you already have a Tarobas, you're allowed to be Marbe Heter, and it's not a problem of being Mavatel because it's Drabbanon, and they allowed you to be Marbe Heter once you have a Tarobas. It's a little bit difficult, because I don't know, is this called a Tarobas? You have Yavish B'Yavish, you have Chad B'Chad, and that's called a Tarobas. I mean, in other words, any time I have a Suffolk here, I have to assume 50-50 that he's taking out a piece of Mukta.
Why is that not a Tarobas?
I don't know, it depends how you learn Tarobas. I mean, obviously the Rashba is learning this is a Tarobas. I'm just saying, in my mind, it's not such a Dara Pasha to call this a Tarobas. You know, Tarobas means that I don't know where the Iser is, but here every time you pick up a piece of wood, you're going to assume it's the Iser because it's a Suffolk.
Right, but so, that's because you don't know where the Iser is, right? Meaning if you knew where the Iser was, then you'd know.
Correct, but again, you know, Tarobas means I can't find the Iser, right? The Iser is not Nikar. It's lost its identity, right? Like, for example, I'll give you a mashal. What's the difference between called the parish, Meruba parish, and called Kavua? Right, in the case of Kavua, Tosa says, you have Nikar Iser B'Mkomo. I don't know where the Iser is, but wherever it is, it's Nikar B'Mkomo. I mean, here, to say that if you have a mixture of, let's take the case of Rov, for example, and I think you could say the same logic in Chad B'Chad. If you have Rov of Eitzim of Mukta, is that called the Tarobas? Anytime you take out one of the Eitzim, we know that it came from the Rov, because the Torah says we rely on Rov. So if the Torah says to be Mavad with Suffolk on Rov, you really don't have a Suffolk. And even if you have Chad V'Chad, the Halach is Suffolk L'Chumra, and therefore I'm going to assume it came from the Iser. So I don't know, is that called the Tarobas? You know, Yesh Laka, what is the Tarobas? Is the Tarobas a reality in which I don't know where to point the Iser to? Or is the Tarobas where there's some sort of a mixture in which the Iser itself loses its identity and it's not Nikar B'Mkomo? But if you're going to tell me that you have like Chad B'Chad like or Rov Isa, I don't know, is that called
Ain't
Nikar B'Mkomo?
That's almost like Nimoach, no? It's that if it can't even be, it's not even a Tarovis even, I think, no? That if it really loses its identity.
Maybe there are other cases in Hilchas Tarobas where we say it's not called a Tarobas. I mean, we might not know exactly where to point it out, but if the Torah says at any time you take it out, that's called Isur. I just find that a little bit strange that that a Tarobas.
So it's two chatichas of Heter, two chatichas of Isur, and one chaticha of Heter. So you wouldn't view that as a Tarobas? Of Yavish B'Yavish?
I don't know. I mean, is that called a Tarobis? You know, if any time you take something out, you assume it came from the robe. It's a strange kind of halacha, Tarobis.
No,
I don't have an answer to this question. I'm just pointing out the problem.
You're assuming it out of Tzafik, right?
Yeah, it's a suffix. I mean, let's
by definition, then it kind of falls back a little bit on itself. That you're asking it's a suffix, there is a basis to say tarobis.
On the contrary, maybe you could say the exact opposite. That if it's a suffix, maybe that's not called a tarobis. Meaning, if the Torah says in the case of a suffix that you have no way of being machria, but you have to assume that the Isser is there in front of you, if that's what the Torah is saying, then I don't know. You're looking at the Easter and you're telling me it's a Tarobis. You know, I find that a little bit of a stickle of a tarot to
decide. There's no Tarobis
then. And if there's no Tarobis.
You never have Tarobis. You can have something there. So if you have Rav that's right now Tarobis, whether it's Ravis or Red Heter.
No, so what I'm saying is that if you have a Rav of Heter, what the Torah is saying is that the Easter has lost its identity somewhere in this Tarobis, and then you apply Bittul. But when the Easter is still jumping out at you because you have a robe of Easter, I don't know, to call that a Tarobis.
The Easter is prominent, there won't be a Tarobis. Whenever the Easter is not prominent, unless you're saying, whenever the Easter is prominent, there won't be a Tarobis? There's no real deal of Tarobis.
That's what I'm wondering. You know, in the case of Yavish be Yavish, you know, we have Trey against one and two are Easter and it's all Yavish. I mean, I don't know how you call that a Tarobis. You know, if the whole lumpus of the Rashbah is that in an Easter Rabbanan, since you already have a Tarobis, you can be Marbe to be Mavatal. It sounds to me like by being Marbe Het that you're creating a Tarobis.
So it's a Suffolk. So what is it? Is that a Suffolk? What
does it say? So Rabbi Kivega wants to say that what the Rashba really has in mind is that if you have a Suffolk the Rabbanan, then the Rabbanan are calling it a Tarobis, and therefore you can be Marbe. In other words, Rabbi Kivega is starting with the Suffolk. So if the given is that it's a suffix, then we have a hachra of suffix lekula. So the Rabbanan said, in a case of a suffix, what you could do is you could take more heter and apply bittul. See, understand the difference between Rabbi Kivega and the way we understood it. The way we understood the Rashba is that you have a tarobis, you're not creating a tarobis, you're just trying to save the heter because you already have a tarobis, and the Rabbanan allowed you to save the heter by adding heter into the Tarobis. But it's already a given that there's a Tarobis there. Rav Kivega is taking a different approach. He's saying that the Heter here, the Rabbanan, to allow you to add Heter into this mixture is not relevant to whether you have a Tarobis, you don't have a Tarobis. It all depends on Hilchus Sveikus. So if you apply Hilchus Sveikus here, so even in the case of Chad B'Chad, you have a Sofik. Once you have a Sofik, the Rabbanan is going to say, we're going to change the rules. But to take an Iser, which is a Vadai, and throw it in, even though it's only the Rabbanan, that you can't do. Okay, that's one thing that I wanted to point out. All right. Now let's go on. If you can, open up for a moment to page Tav Mem in the Shulchan Aruch. Again, I'm assuming you have the same Shulchan Aruch, so if you don't, it's your Yoredei HaSimen Kuf Yud Aleph, Siv Zayin. The Mechaber says the following: Hayu kan shtei kederos shel heter. I mean, Siman Kuf Yud Aleph is all about these various complicated scenarios of what's called tliya. You know, it's like the two mice that go into the kupos, and one has chametz. You know, the sugya in himself. But here he has the following case: he's got two kederos shel heter. V'nafal isur liachas mihen. Now the problem is that ein biachas kedei levatel ha'isur, but v'yesh l'shteyam kedei levatel ha'isur. So that means if you would add the volume of kedera 1 to the volume of kedera, to combine the two volumes, then mitztarfos levatlo. And the Mechaber says it's mutter in this case. You can add the two together. Now notice that the Mechaber doesn't make any qualifications. The Rambam makes a qualification. Says the Rambam, Mihu, you can't automatically be mitzarif the two kederos and be matir. Ein liochlo, elo liachas shiis arvu yachat. In other words, the Rambam says you have to take the two kederos and you have to mix them together. Fek the Taz, I don't understand. We have an Iser. We have an Iser of Ein Mevatlin Iser L'Chatchila. According to the Ramah, there's no Bittul here until you mix the two Kederos. How could the Ramah recommend that we take the two Kederos, mix them together in order to apply Bittul? That's the Sif that we're learning. So this is the Taz's Kasha, and he says the Imtomar Kain, the Mutal Yarv L'Chatchila, is Havi Vitam, the Chashvina Lekilu Kvar Nis'arev. In other words, since he doesn't know which of the two Kederos received the Iser fell into one of the two Kederos, it's as if he has a mixture, or he has a Tarobos. Not a Tarobos B'Metzias, but a Tarobos Mitzad his Sofek. So his Sofek creates the Tarobos. In fact, the Taz Oivazoi, then why does Ramah require that you mix the two together? In other words, the Mechaber makes a lot of sense. The Mechaber is saying, unqualified, you could be Mitzarif the two Kederos to be Mevatel the Iser. Why? Because it's one Tarobos. Very nice Lumbus. But the Ramah says, no, you have to mix the two together in order to apply Bittul. So the only thing I got out of the Taz, again, I don't know, Rabosai, I shouldn't say this, but I don't know how you find it. I find the Shach a lot easier than the Taz. I don't know, in general, just reading, you know what I'm saying? What I call pedagogy, you know. But anyway, so I'll read to you the language of the Taz. I think it's a little bit confusing, but I do get one point out of the Taz. Ela al karchach, he says what we have to say in this Ramah is the hu hichmir bazeli arvom l'chatchil. So again, the only thing I understood from this Taz, it's, you know, unfortunately, you know, Eidah Mitzvah Nikrei Sel Shein Gomro, and this is the last Taz in Shulchan Aruch Yerideya, you know, Chelik Aleph, so I get a little nervous when I don't understand the last Taz in Shulchan Aruch Yerideya, Chelik Aleph. But he says that somehow this din of being Ma'arev, the two Kederos, is a Chumrah. I don't know what he means by a Chumrah, because again, the Ramah insists that you can't use Bittul, and everything has to go in the rubbish bin unless you Ma'arev the two Kederos. But he calls it a Chumrah.
Because really Kamura.
Yeah, what do you say?
Because then he agrees with the Shachara. This is just a Chumra Bialma that you mix them together.
Yeah, but again, if it's only a Chumra Bialma, why does he say that if you don't mix it, you can't apply Bittul?
It's a sharp Chumra Bialma.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a sharp Chumra Bialma.
All right, look, okay, I came from a different base measure. I, in my base measure, we never said something is a sharp Chumra. We have to define it. You know, that's the way I came. That's just my background. You know, you can go on in your way, I'll go on my way. We'll never convince each other who's right. I would say that the Ramah understands that there's an Iser called Bittul.
Yeah.
Meaning you're not allowed to be Mevatel something. So the Ramah thinks that on the level of being Mevatel something, so the Ramah agrees with the Shulchan Aruch that we already have a Tarobos here. Insofar as you're a Mesubic, you don't know which of the two Kederos received the Iser, you already have a Tarobos. And therefore, there's no Iser of Ein Mevatlin Iser L'Chatchila. But what the Ramah adds here is that although you have a Tarobos, there are conditions that apply to Bittul. Now, what you're not allowed to do is a Maisa Bittul. A Maisa Bittul would be you create the Tarobos. So the Ramah holds that since you already have a Tarobos, then you're not violating the Maisa Bittul. You're not doing a Maisa Bittul. There may be a Loch that you can only apply Bittul if they're Ma'urav Zebazeh. But that doesn't mean that by mixing them together, you're doing an active Bittul. In other words, what I think the Taz is saying in the Ramah is that the Ramah is trying to define when do you violate the Iser of Ein Mevatlin Iser L'Chatchila? When are you doing a Maisa Bittul? So the question is the following. If you have two Kederos, one is pure Heter, one has the Tarobos of Iser, and you would go ahead and mix the two together, you know exactly where the Iser is, and now you're mixing in what? In Heter. In such a case, you're creating Bittul. Your act of mixing them together is a Maisa Bittul. And that's what's awesome. But in this case, the Nachab is right, and even the Ramah agrees, you're not doing a Maisa Bittul. Why? Because you already have a Tarobos. nor vas. You need, in order to implement bittul, you need a tarovis. Not only a tarovis al pi sveikos and al pi yedias ha'adam, but you need a tarovis b'mitzias. That's already a condition. In other words, the way I apply bittul is if and when I have a tarovis b'mitzias. But that's only a t'nai. That's only a milsachrita. That's not a ma'aseh bittul. I'm not actively creating bittul when I mix the two together. What I'm doing is I'm facilitating, I'm making it possible to apply bittul. Let me go over it one more time. What I'm saying is that according to the Rambam, you can have both A and not A at the same time. Words, on the one hand, he says it's tarovis, but on the other hand, you need to mix them together. So it's a tarovis mitzad his suffix iyidiyah, he doesn't know where the iser is to be found, and the suffix is chal on both kederas together. And this already sets bittul into motion. There's already a process of bittul insofar as I have a tarovis. Now, there are certain conditions that have to be met in order to apply bittul befal. One of them is tarovis mamsh. I need to be ma'urav zemzeh. But if you do the act of being ma'ariv them, is that although you're allowing bittul to apply, but you're not creating bittul, you're not making a ma'isa bittul, you already have a tarovah. So the bittul is ready. In Yiddish we say, das liknin them kedera. You know, it's already inherent in the kedera. You already have a tarovah as far as bittul is concerned. Narvas, the halacha is that we have to see the tarovah in front of our eyes. Because who knows, if somebody sees that you're applying bittul, he's going to think that, oh, you're allowed to be mevatel iser, even though it's in two different kederos. So to satisfy the onlooker, so to speak, the halacha is that in order to apply bittul befal, I need a tarovis b'mitzius. But that's not that's not an act of creating bittul, so the iser of ein mevatlin wouldn't apply.
It's a suffix tarovis, right?
I'm not sure what you mean by a suffix tarovis.
You don't know if it's a tarovis or not.
Well, again, if you're going to say that each pot is a suffix tarovis, then I think you'll have to be machbir. I think the point of the machaber is that we don't view it as two different pots, each one with its own suffix tarovis, but that we integrate the two kederos into one mixture, and then we can apply bittul, even though, says the machaber, you don't have a tarovis mamish in mitzias. Comes along the Rambam, he says, yeah, everything is right, but for the chalosdin bittul, I need that to be mu'uravim zevazeh. You know, in the world of lumdus, again, this is only where I come from, I don't expect you to, but we always machalach the maisa and the chalos. So the iser is a maisa bittul. The maisa bittul would be when I created tarovis. But as far as bittul is concerned, there may be a t'nai in the chalos bittul. You know, so you can only apply bittul under certain conditions.
But it's talibahar, meaning that at some level the bittul you're saying has happened. It just is
correct, but it's milsa talibahar. It's a milsa achrita. You know, like Yomarik Suba says, that t'nai is milsa achrita. In other words, sometimes there are conditions in the chalos. Like, for example, if I say to you, Hareat Mekudeshes B'tnai, you know, that Almanash Yitnu Masayim Zuz, right? So it's not that giving the Masayim Zuz is the Kedusha, that's not the Maisa Kedusha. That's something that sets up the Maisa Kedusha. So the Ramah is agreeing that as far as Bittul is concerned, you have all the ingredients of Bittul, you have a Tarovis, the Machaber is right. But the halacha is that in chalos bittul we need a tarovis mamish. But that's only a technicality. You know, if a cat would drag the two kederos and mix them together, that would be enough. I don't need a mice of bittul.
Could we just speak out the parallel? I think I'm getting it from
Sam.
The parallel, it's like the Kiddush for some of us, it's not included, is a conceptual point that. Because I have a suffix where the Asir is, whether it's in box off or box bays, that's called tarovis. So basically, if you could help me finish the thought, but just like by a tarovis, I have a suffix. Like, it sounds like we're saying a parallel, right? To get there. Just like by a tarovis, I have a suffix when I pull something out, whether it's the Asir. So to here, I have a suffix about whether I pull something out. What? How do we get that? What's the basis to call this a tarovis when it's not physically mixed together? It's only conceptually built on a suffix. What is there more we could say to build how we understand it's a tarovis?
Again, you know, over and over again, we see in your idea that a tarovis depends upon your yediyah. It doesn't depend upon the mitzvahs. I mean, we discussed. I think it was it about 2 weeks ago? We had a case where. Just give me a second. Yeah. What was the case that he... Right. For example, we don't say this is Tarovus Lamafreya. We only say the Tarovus is Chal from the Shas Yedir. Let me just give you one example. Okay. Now, Rabosai, let's go back to page Reish Lamed Daled where we started. So he violates the Isur of Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Chatchila. And he does it b'mezi. So what happens now? So first of all, says the Mechaber in Reish Lamed Daled. Again, I use Reish Lamed Daled only if it helps you. Asur L'Mevatel Atzmo. So the person who did the Maisa Bittul, he's not allowed to eat this Tarovus. What about somebody else? Says the Mechaber, V'chein L'mishen is batel bishvilo. So we have a new concept here. We'll just stick to the words of the Mechaber. Mishen is batel bishvilo. So what does this mean? Who exactly is included in this category called Mishen is batel bishvilo? So if you take a look in the Taz, Sivkotan Yud, Pirish Marshal, Dahainu Dafka Shiodea Shiyoda Ze, Shenis Batel Avuro, Vinichole. So watch this. There are three possible conditions that have to be met in order to categorize someone as Mishin is Bashel, excuse me, Nisbatel Bishvilo. Number one, he has to know about the Bittul. Number two, he has to be Nichole. You know, he's very happy about the Bittul because, after all, now you have a big piece of volume of the Vela that became Mutter. But what about the third condition? Does the Mishin is Batel Bishvilo indicate that he commissioned the person who was Mavatel on his behalf? Says the Marshal, no. Afilu lo tziva oso levatlo. All we need is that he was aware of the bittul and he benefited from the bittul, even though he didn't command the bittul. Aval im lo hayodea mimenu shart darei gam hu shoge. So if the mishen is batel bishvilo was totally unaware of this act of bittul, then he's no different than if the levatlo himself was bishoge. Now, if you look at Agos Rabbi Akiva Eger, as we say, in art, and it's, I think it's Sifkot Vav, he quotes the Tshuvas HaRivash. The Rivash says the following: V'im bitel al stam. Like, let's say, for example, the man is a seller; he sells meat on the market. So who does he have in mind when he does the bittul? You know, when he takes the nevela and he beefs up his volume of meat by adding the nevela into a tarovus of heter. L'chol bishi yirtza liknos. Now, anyone who's willing to pay his jacked up price, he's happy. So he has in mind the ganze welt. Anyone is potentially the mishen is batel b'shvilo. Is then, says the Rivash, Hareyu kimosha nasu bishvilam biyichud viasalakulam. Meaning, anyone who comes forward and buys this taroves, it was nisbatel bishvilam. So there's a fundamental difference here, kibizrach mimara, between the marshal and the rivash. According to the marshal, it's only also to that person who was in cahoots, so to speak. Again, he didn't tell the guy to do this, but he knew about it and he was very happy about it. He had a big smile on his face. You know, like the cat with the fish in his mouth. You know, this is great, you know, he's doing bittul for me. And it's great because, you know, there's no divya rab, divya tal, because he's doing it for me. My hands are clean. So he's called Mishin is batel bishvilo. That's according to the marshal. And the Rivash expands it to the Chola Ola, because since the, in this case at least, the Mavatel said, you know, anyone who comes forward is willing to buy this mixture, that's great, and I'm doing it for him, then that's already considered Mishnas Batel Bishvilo. Anyone who comes forward and wants to buy this piece, this Taroves, he's considered Mishnah is batel b'shvila. So far so good. That's the Marshal versus the Rivash. Now let's open up the Magen Avraham for a minute in Hilchos Shabbos. And we want to know what happens in a case of Bishul on Shabbos. So in Shin Yud Ches, the Mechaber says, Hamavashel b'Shabbos, b'Mezid, Asur lo li'ola, u'lacherim mutar. Now again, he adds another condition, which I don't want to get into it, because that'll just throw us off. He says, you have to wait till Motzi Shabbos. That's to do with, even if a guy would cook something, yeah, you don't benefit on Shabbos. But as far as the Isur of Mevashel is concerned, meaning because of the Averas Bishul B'mezid, then it's Mutal Acherim. And the Magen Avraham is very upset about this. The Magen Avraham here in Sif Beis, it's a long, long Magen Avraham, but there's only a few lines that's relevant to us. And he says the following. Nirali Dilamishan is Bashal Bishvilo Gamkein Havidino Hachi. You know, it's the same thing would apply for, let's call him Shimon, because the Bishul of Ruvein was done for Shimon. And his din of Shimon, for whom the Bishul was done, is Havikmo Hu Atzma. His status is equal to that of the Mevashel. So, where did the Magen Avraham get this from? In the Mechaber does statement, there's no indication in the Mechaber that we're going to have to isolate and single out Mishan is Bashal Bishvilo. It says Lacherim Buta. He says Moshe Kasa Biyoredeya Simon Tzadites Sif He. The Hachinami Tame Mishum Knosa. If we're imposing a knas and we're penalizing you because you violated an Isur, then if you violated the Isur on behalf of someone, that someone is also included in the knas. Says the Magen Avraham, how do I know that he for whom the Bishul was implemented is also included in this knas? I know it from Yeridea, because in the case of that Mishan is Bashal Bishmilo, but Mishan is Batel Bishmilo. The Mechaber says explicitly, V'chein L'Mishan is Batel Bishmilo. So if the bittul was done on behalf of Shimon, and Shimon's going to eat this tarobes, then he's also included in the Isur of being mevatel. So we're expanding this knas of a person who is mevatel the Isur to include the Mishan is batel bishvilo. Let's do the same in the knas of Bishul on Shabbos, and let's say that even the Mishan is bashul bishvilo should be also. And that's the way the Magen Avraham thinks logically. But then he goes ahead and he quotes the Beis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef seems to assume not like that. So again, you have like a very complicated Magen Avraham. And initially, the Magen Avraham shoots from the hip, and he says, I'll tell you logically that we should compare the two. Berzon is going to add that to Zekal V'Chomer. I mean, which is more Chomer? Bittul Isur or Bishul V'Shabbos? And Bishul V'Shabbos is an Isur Skilo. I mean, the veil is no cinch either, but at least it's not Issa Skila. Can't get a smile. Come on, do you hear what I'm saying, Rabbi Osan? What I'm saying is, if there's a halacha of Mishan is Batel Bishvilo, then Kolshke, the Magen Avraham, is correct. It has to be a din of Mishan is Bashel Bishvilo. But then he says, he backtracks. Like he has a aim of a covenant for the Beis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef has a different approach. Now, Rabosai, I just want to tell you a piece of history. And it's going to be hard for you to appreciate this history, because today you would never dream of buying bread from a bake shop that's open on Shabbos. You know, the first thing you look for, if you want to buy, let's say you're traveling and this and that, you see a Jewish bake shop, the first thing you look for is Shomer Shabbos, right? It has to be a Shomer Shabbos bake. But it wasn't always like that. So if you turn back the clock about 90 years, there was a whole issue in the city of New York about buying breads on Sunday. Why? There was a Jewish bake shop and it was opened on Shabbos. Rachmana Litzlan. So the question is, do we apply this Magen Avraham Again, the Magen Avraham before he backtracks, if you find him. In other words, the poskim of machmir for this Magen Avraham, his logic is that certainly there should be a din like this mishan is batel bishvilo, his mishan is bashel bishvilo. And now we're going to apply the Rivash, because Rav Kiveger quotes the Rivash. And the Rivash says that if you're a baker, you're a professional seller on the market, then everybody is included in mishan is batel bishvilo and mishan is bashel bishvilo. So if I walk in on Sunday morning to buy my bread for the local Jewish bake shop, which was open on Shabbos, then what I'm getting is I'm getting breads from Shabbos. Right? They usually take, again, things have changed, but they usually take one day until they get rid of any you know, surplus bread. So for one day, like 24 hours, it's considered fresh bread. So you're coming in on Sunday to a bake shop that was owned and worked by Jews, and it was worked on Shabbos. So it's Mishan Isbatel and Misbashel Bishfilo. So this was a big pulmus back in the day. I'm sorry.
He was planning to use up the bread. He preferred Pastana to use it up on the day that he brings it.
I don't know. It seems like they gave it one more day.
So even with Hatzil like that.
Again, you got to imagine what life was like 100 years ago. You say, today, you know, we live in a world that is so much surplus. Like, you know, who would think of selling yesterday's? Although the truth is, I'm not going to tell you where I'm pointing, but somewhere in this neighborhood, you will see bread that's supposedly freshly baked, but he'll admit that, you know, sometimes they slash the price, you know, if you're lucky. So that was the situation. Now get this. The Machmirim at this Pulmus, I'm going to tell you who the Makel was, the Machmirim wanted to Aser buying bread on Monday. Why on Monday? Because they used the same ovens on Sunday that they used on Shabbos. And that has to do with a sugya called Recha Milsa, right? We're not up to that yet, but it could be that Sunday's bread, even though it wasn't baked with a Melecha Safir, has the din of Recha Milsa, and if they didn't burn out the ovens between Saturday and Sunday, then it could be that even Monday's bread is also. I mean, this was a chumrah and people were going nuts. You know, from, you know, that for Sunday and Monday you can't buy bread. Because again, it wasn't like today, you know. It's like my father's shul, you could count the Shomer Shabbos. It was an Orthodox shul, you could count the Shomer Shabbos on one hand. You know what I'm saying? The president of the shul used to walk us to shul jangling his coins in his pocket. You know what I'm saying? That's why when people left Europe to go to America, they sat shiva because they thought you're going to the Treif of Medina. And it was a Treif of Medina. Everything was Treif. I'm exaggerating, but there was a lot of tariffs going on. I don't know if I ever told you the story about my father and his first rabbanus. It was in Bangor, Maine. Did I ever tell you this? So my father had just finished learning Hilchos Shechita, and he was a young man. He was 22 years old. He had just married my mother. She was pregnant. And he took his first rabbanus in Bangor, Maine. There's a lot of Shechita coming through Bangor, Maine. And he used to check the Shochtim. He had to make sure that, you know, he was boding them with all the dinim of Bedika. And he discovered that there were two major shochtim in Bangor, Maine, who were feeding treifas in the velas to Klal Yisrael. And he fought them tooth and nail, and he lost the battle. He had to leave Bangor, Maine. These guys were too powerful for him. And he got up on Kol Nidre night in his second year of Rabbanus. He said, either they leave Bangor or I leave Bangor. And at the end, he had to leave Bangor, which for him was a difficult thing, because he had to support my mother and then my older sister, who was about to be born at the time of the Depression. You know, I'm talking in the 1930s. Wow. And it was tough, but Baruch Hashem. And then I'll never forget, we have a letter that my father saved from the so-called chief rabbi of the state of Maine, and he calls my father a kanoi. You know, why'd you do this, and how could you fight this, and this was, it's mind-boggling. You know what I'm saying? You know, again, we have no, it's hard for us to wrap our heads around this, because it's a whole different belt, you know. Even my world is different than your world, even though I'm already a lot more close to your world than my father to his world. But things were not pushed. So who is
Bangor
the big
was in Europe? Bangor was in Europe.
What?
Bangor was in Europe.
Who?
Bangor was in Europe.
No, Bangor is one of the major cities in Maine. Portland is the capital of Maine.
Wow.
But I think there were more Jews at that time in Bangor than there were in Portland, or anyway, it was Shabbat B'Shabbat. I mean, today if you went to any of these in any of these cities, you'll be lucky if you find a conservative temple. I mean, even in Syracuse, New York, my son does his emergency medicine, you know, because he has to support his family here in Israel. So he makes more money in 1 week in Syracuse, in the hospital in Syracuse, than he makes in about a month here in Israel in Ashdod. But anyway, that's a different story. You know, that has to do with nefesh for nefesh. We're not attracting doctors here unless they're really very idealistic. But it's terrible. I mean, today. Who remembers? Anybody? Simply, you remember Akiva Bamza? That was in your time. Akiva Bamza hails from
Albany.
From Albany. Today, it's a suffix whether you get a minion in Albany. Hmm. Albany was an Ir V'Ein B'Yisrael. So it's just a whole. I'd like to say that all those Jews went made Aliyah, but I don't think that's exactly true. But be that as it may. So the big maker was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik wanted to explain the counter argument to the logic of the Magen Avraham. Let's go over the logic of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is he's over Peter. He's mefatos because his logic is solid. If you're going to tell me that in the case of Ein Mevatel and Issa L'chatchila, which is only an Issa D'Rabbanan according to many Rishonim, maybe there's a Raavad Shita, not like that, but and yet we're going to say that it's also Lemishan is batel b'shvilo, then how much more so kal v'chomer in the case of Shabbos, which is a malacha skila. So we should say also lemishan is batel b'shvilo, which would basically mean that you couldn't buy the breads in New York on Sunday. So Moshe said the following. Now, this I heard from the Rav many, many years ago, so I'm going to try to construct it to the best of my ability. If I can just ask you to put this down, so... Okay, thanks. So, Rav Moshe wanted to say the following. Yesh lachka, what is the nature of the isur of mishan is batel b'shvila? So, one way of saying it is that ein mevatlin isur l'chatchila means that we're going to impose a knas on someone who b'mezid is mevatel isur l'chatchila because he violated this isur and he deserves a knas. I mean, again, if you're going to say it that way, then the Magen Avraham is 1,000% correct, because if there's a knas in the case of being mevatel isur, how much more so should there be a knas in the case of Mavashal on Shabbos? And if that knas will integrate, or how should I say, expand to include Mishan is Batel B'Shvila, then certainly Mishan is Bashal B'Shvila. Says Rav Moshe, it's not a knas. A knas is something that you impose for a Maisa Avera. You did an Avera, and we're going to penalize you. It's almost like a punishment for an Avera. That doesn't apply in a case of bittul l'chatchila, if a person takes iser and he's mevatel. The bittul itself is not a maisa avera. Now, how did Rav Moshe know this? Again, let me just go back. The case of bishul on Shabbos, I understand knas. But the knas is only for he who violated that avera. He's subject to knas. Again, the person for me is bashel b'shvil. It's like a fence, in who buys stolen goods. You know, I wouldn't give him shishi, but I wouldn't say he deserves a knas for a maisa avera. He was totally passive. He didn't do any bishul. So therefore, Rav Moshe thinks that logically, mitzad hilchas knas, we would never have expanded the iser knas to the person who, for whom the iser was perpetrated. He's not deserving of a knas. He didn't do the maisa avera. Nor vas in the case of ein mevatlin iser l'chatchila, says Rav Moshe, it's not an iser in a maisa bittul. The maisa bittul is not osur. And he wants to prove this. Okay? I think I asked you this question once in a shiur. Anyone here own a dog? No? If you're willing to admit it. Anyway, so... Yeah, in this part of the world, you know, if you don't own the dog, you're not willing to admit it. Everybody owns the dog. Right. I see people own 16 dogs. No, they're just getting paid to. Anyway.
It'd help.
So I would ask you the following question. am I allowed to take a piece of nevela and mix it into basa shkuta, basa heter, for the purpose of feeding my dog? Says Rav Moshe, it's mut. Why? After all, it's a mice and bintel. If I look at it with a flash camera, it's exactly the same thing as someone who did the same act for the purpose of a Jew eating this tarobas. It's Eim Avatla Nisil Chatila Nain, says Rav Moshe. The Easter is not the mice and bintel. The Easter is Hanami mice and bintel. In a case where I'm feeding my dog, that's not Hanami mice and bintel. My dog can eat nevela. I don't care if my dog eats nevela. Kelev tashlichen also, right? We should recognize the dog. Was it you, Moshe, who spoke about the dog? Who was it? You? 2 weeks in a row, I remember. Yeah, it was the pro dogs weeks. Oh yeah, that's Kelev Lashona. So what do we have? We have a case in which bittel is connected to hana. It's a very interesting definition. Ein mevat l'nisul chatchila means don't have hana from the bittel. Again, we're going to have machlokas now between the marshal and the rivash, exactly how to fine-tune it, because we're going to ask, well, on the one hand, you know, the marshal makes a lot of sense, that you're having hana because you were like a culprit in the bittel, so you sort of set up the bittel because he did the bittel with your full knowledge on your behalf, so your hana, when you eat that tarobas, is directly related to the bittel. And comes along the Rivash and he says, Nein, anybody who eats from that bittel, if the bittel is done for the whole velt, then the whole velt is included in the Isra Hanor. Says Rav Moshe, herein lies the difference between Ein Mevat L'Nisul Chatchila and Bishul B'Shabbos. In Bishul B'Shabbos, which is a Maisav Vera called Bishul Meleches Bishul, the Halach is going to impose a knas and a punishment on and for the Maisa Malach, the Maisa Bishul. And that applies to whom? To the Mavasha. Hence the Machaber says that Lacherim Mutter. Why is it Lacherim Mutter? Because we don't apply a knas to those who were not involved directly in the Asiyas HaMalach and the Asiyas Maisa Vera. They don't deserve a knas.
But they have to wait till Motzei Shabbos.
Okay, that's a different halach. Try not to be confused by that, because that has to do with even if an Akum would cook on Shabbos, that has to do with halach and Kedusha Shabbos. That's not really what we're talking about. But as far as the Iser of benefiting from the Maisa Bishul, that's not a problem. You can benefit from the Maisa Bishul. You don't even have to wait Kedusha Shabbos, if you know what I mean. But there's a knas on the one who's Mavashel, because he did the Maisa Avera. But in the case of Ein Mevat L'Nisul Chatchila, the Iser is not the Mice of Bittel. Horaya, if I was Mevatel Iser for the sake of my dog, nobody would say that's Asur. I can feed him the Velo, or I can mix the Velo with Heter. I mean, it doesn't matter what the proportions are. No one's going to tell me I can't feed my dog the Velo. Narvas, what's the Iser? The Iser is benefiting from the Bittel. How do I benefit from the Bittel? Because I eat this Tarobas as a result of the Bittel. Oh. So Memela, says Rav Moshe, as far as buying breads on Sunday that were baked on Shabbos, there's no problem. Why? Because you aren't involved in the Maisa Afiyah. So what are you going to say? Well, the Magen Avraham is right. We'll make a Kal V'Chomer. And we're going to say, well, if there's an Isur Mishan Isbatel B'Shvilo, there should be an Isur Mishan Isbashel B'Shvilo. No, there is no Isur Mishan Isbashel B'Shvilo. The Magen Avraham makes a jump and he equates Arachayim Shin Yud Ches with Yoredei Atzadi Tes. There's no equation between the two. In Arachayim we're talking about a knas, and the Machaber is very clear that the knas is only on the person who violated the Malacha. But it's not a Mishan Isbashel B'Shvilo. I can eat the bread on Sunday as long as it's kosher. However, with regard to Mishan Isbatel B'Shvilo, then already he's considered part of the Hanah, and therefore the bittel is related to him. Again, you may say that, let's say if we go with the Taz in the name of the Marshal, the bittel is only related to him because in some sense he was in cahoots with the bittel, it was Midaita of Nichale. And therefore his Hanah sets him up as being Nene directly from the bittel. Or you can even go as far as the Rivash is concerned and say that anyone who Lamaisa eats from this Tarobas is Nene from the bittel. And the Hano itself is the Gufa Shal Is. How are we doing on the clock? Just 5 more minutes? Great, Moshe, you're on. I just save you 5 minutes.
What? The Marshal disagrees with the Rivashas, that we're trying to say.
No, I'm saying that the Marshal and the Rivash are really on the same page. Fundamentally, they both define the Isur of Mishan is Batil Bishvilo as the Hanah from the Bittul. The question is the question of...
It's a little more difficult, right?
You're right. I would, if I had to choose, in this case, I'm not usually a Machmir, but I think the Rivash is more logical, because if the Isur is Isur Hanah from the Bittul, then anyone who comes forward and buys this Tarovas, he's having Hanah from the Bittul. And finally, the Ramon Sifhe, right here on this page. The Ramon says, in the name of the Isur Veheter, that right, on page Reish Lamed Zayin, the Asa Lemochro Gamkein LeYisrael Acher, Shelo Yehenu Mimenu, Shelo Yehenu Mimenu, we'll fine-tune this in a second. And the Ramah is saying that we're not going to allow the mocher who violated the Isur Bittul to sell this Taroves to Yisrael. And here we have a Shach. Now the Shach doesn't ask a kasha on the Ramah, but mitoch dvarav, you understand why he objects to the Ramah. He says, v'li nira. He says, when should we prohibit the Mavatel / Mocher from selling to Yisrael? Dafka kishi Yisrael lokech biyoker. Just 1 second, it means the following. That if he sells it to a guy, then the guy is only going to pay him 100. Because to the guy, the fact that he mixed in the Vela is irrelevant. So he's not going to jack up the price. But to Yisrael, he's going to pay more money, perhaps because, you know, we beefed up the volume by adding the veil into the equation. And then you're not allowed to sell it to Yisrael. Why? Because you're going to get a higher price. In other words, what word is critical here according to the Shach? What is usher here about selling it to Yisrael? What's the answer? Hanah. Hanah means he's going to get monetary benefit. So again, the Shach is putting all the emphasis on Hanah. And therefore, Ulai, he says, maybe we could push this into the Ramah, that when the Ramah says you're not allowed to sell to Yisrael, he's talking about a case where he's going to get a high price from the Yisrael, and therefore he's being nene from the Bittul. But you have to admit that Pashtus in the Ramah doesn't qualify. The Ramah says, also mokro to Yisrael. You're not allowed to sell to Yisrael. So frek the kashat, what do you mean sell to Yisrael? Are you getting a Hanah from this Bittul? Why are you getting Hanah from the Bittul? The Israel's paying you exactly the same price that you could have gotten from John Paul Jones up the street. So the Pashtus, I think the answer to the Shach's Heora is that when you sell it to Yisrael, the reason you can sell it to Yisrael and you're not selling an Iser is because of the Bittul. That itself is considered Hanah. In other words, the Shach wants to measure the Hanah in terms of dollars and cents. As a result of this Bittul, are you getting more when you can sell to a guy for the same price? That's not called Hanah. The Ramah says, the very fact that you could sell it to Yisrael is Hanah. And how are you able to sell it to Yisrael? Because you applied Bittul. Had it been a Chefzid Isura, you could not sell it to Yisrael. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. Just 2 minutes of Chizuk, and then we'll end the Shir. And I don't know if there's Meirev or not Meirev, you let me know. I saw something that boggled my mind. You know, I don't know if you know, I've been learning the Meshech Chachma lately. It's a new enterprise for me. Rabbi Simcha Mitvinsk. And he writes the following. He quotes a Medrash in this week's Parsha, Ad Yavor Hashem, Ad Yavor Amzu Kanisa, based on a Gemara, an Agadita, and Sota Daf Lamed Vav, that Reuim Hay Yisrael, this is at the time of Golus Bavel, Shei Asalem Nisim, Kimosha Asalem Moshe Rabbeinu, Beitzis Mitzrayim, Ela Shachet Goram. So Rashi explains there in Sota that why are they Reuim Lasos Lem Nisim? Because of Ezra. So Ezra is like parallel to Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore by Sheni in Oli Bavel they deserve Nisan. Narvas Hachet Gora. So Rabbi Simcha says, what does it mean Hachet Gora? And he says something unbelievable. He says that at the time of Oli Bavel they were tzaddikim, but they weren't machmir for siyogim and gzeros, and they were in violation of all the harchakos that you find at the end of the Gemara and Avodah Zarah with Cholav Akum and Bishal Akum and Gvinas Akum and Yayina and Stam Yenam, and they were having a blast. I'm a kind of tag mitzvahs, you know, meticulously, but you know, siyogim and gzeros, they don't talk to me so much. You know, I can drink wine with a guy, garnet shot, nothing's going to happen. And what happened at the end? They all intermarried. Not all, but so many of them were married to shiksas. And recently I read in the news, the whole pulmus about an Orthodox shul in Boston, and there was someone who was really the best candidate to be the guest of honor at their dinner, and the people wanted to refuse because he was married to a shiks. Not so terrible, he's married to a shiks, right? So this went, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the Jewish Week and all those newspapers that try to find everything that they can, you know, against the Orthodox community. How could you exclude this guy just because he married a non-Jew? You know, but there is such a thing as a so-called tzaddik. You know, he's a member of the Orthodox community. You know, he's nizar v'kala v'chamura. But the only thing is, he falls into a pach and he marries a shiksa. How did that happen? So Rav Meir Simcha says because they weren't shomer the gedarim and the siyog. And he says the exact opposite happened at the time of Achav. The Gemara says, it's Yushalmi, that at the Achav was guilty of the worst sins. He was a chote, a machti, he was the head of the Avodah Zorah, and the Klal Yisrael were guilty of Avodah Zorah. But yet when they went out to battle, no one fell. Whereas when at the time of David HaMelech, they were great tzaddikim, nobody worshipped Avodah Zorah, and yet many people fell in battle. So the Yishalmi says, what's the difference? Because the dar of Achav, Lo Dibru, Dal Turin Zal Zed, they didn't speak Lashon Hara, Rechilus, and so forth, so one or the other. So imagine, you talk about a dar that's guilty of Avodah Zorah, but they get divine protection. Why? Because they were machbin on Bein Adam L'Chaver. Rebbeinu was really changing our whole system of priorities. You know, you compare the people of Holy Bavel, they were tzaddikim, but nevertheless they fell in Averis because of Siyogim and Zeros. You talk about mitzvos of Bein Adam L'Chaver. I mean, there's hardly even an onesh for Bein Adam L'Chaver. You know, even Zela, I know it might be in a lot of anything less, or whatever it might be. I don't know. And certainly Elshin Hor, I don't know if Vinonish Bezlin. Say, so here's a dar and Achosan, the guilty of Avodah Zorah, the guilty of the most severe crimes, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects them because of Bein Olam L'Chaver. Okay, then, we'll stop here.